We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day. Well, this is a problem that many parochial schools, church schools, have noted in the last 30 years. When I went to parochial school, as I did in the Lutheran school system, we had classes brimming with children. I think there were 31, 32 kids in most of my classes through grammar school. That was not unusual at all. Why? I'm on the very trailing edge of the baby boom. Classes are not so full now, are they, especially in religious schools? Why? Is there a simpler explanation than all the complicated ones we like to come up with in the church about what are we doing wrong? What do we need to do here? Is there a demographic explanation for all of this? Joining us to talk about a Catholic priest's explanation for the closing of his parish school, he says it's a demographic winter. That's what he calls it because of, well, contraception and abortion. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Is Father Saupe onto something here when he says we've essentially, at least in his case of his parish and school, we have contracepted our school into closing?
Well, I think he is onto something. You know, if you don't have kids, you're not going to have any. What's the point of a school if you don't have any? If you don't have any kids, and so he tells a story. I found his an article that he wrote on LifeSite News, and he tells a story about sitting around with the teachers when they were trying to figure out, well, gee, are we going to have to close a school? Is there something we could do? What's the solution? How are we going to get more kids in the school? And Father Saupe said, "Well, I know there's a solution to this, but it takes 7 years." And, you know, the older teachers kind of laughed and the younger teachers kind of looked at him like he'd lost his mind. But, you know, obviously what you need is more kids, you know. And so if nobody's having kids, you're not going to need a school. And so that's just the demographic reality that he faced up to in, I think, a very moving and poignant way in this article that we now have on our website at the Ruth Institute.
Is this, I mean, this obviously is a problem for all parochial schools. But is it a broader problem for society, what Father Saupe calls a demographic winter?
Well, sure. It's a problem across the board. It's pretty much a problem across the whole modernized, westernized world, you know. I mean, Japan is contracepted itself into a nursing home, basically. You know, they sell more adult diapers than baby diapers in Japan. There aren't enough nurses to take care of the old people, you know. So across the board, there is a problem with people saying, gee, let's only have the kids we want to have. And when people start calculating about how many kids they want to have, the calculation comes up, maybe not so many, you know. Maybe below replacement, you know. So most of the modernized countries are below replacement. And ironically, from the point of view of eugenics, because the eugenics people are the ones who thought, well, we can use birth control to give ourselves a better race of people. The more educated people are, the fewer children they have. So if you look at the situation from the a kind of eugenics perspective, contraception has completely backfired. You know, now of course, you and I would not look at birth control in anything like a eugenics manner, you know, because we would reject the whole premise of eugenics. But in point of fact, for the people who were so actively promoting contraception, it's completely backfired on them. That was a principal argument of theirs, and it's really backfired.
Does it explain the big problems, especially in the United States? Does it explain the so-called crisis in healthcare? Does it explain the crisis with all of the government entitlements that we have, whether you love them or don't like them? Does
right,
it explain
right.
the future of Social Security? All of those things that,
well,
we can no longer deny.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think you can seriously deny that anymore. I mean, the whole Social Security system, for example, was premised on the idea that the population would be growing. And the only way Social Security ever made any sense was if the population was growing faster than the rate of interest on investments, right? We used to learn that in graduate school in economics. That was kind of a standard argument that people made. Oh, Social Security, great idea. Population growth is faster than the real rate of return on investments, and so therefore investing in the people like that will give you a better return than just taking your money and putting it in the stock market. Well, that turns out not to be true anymore, you know, because people are, if people aren't having as many babies, then that argument goes to pieces. And not only does that argument go to pieces, but the stock market itself there are consequences for the stock market itself and for the economy itself. If you don't have more productive citizens producing in the economy, that's going to show up in a whole variety of industries and have all kinds of consequences that nobody really took into account. And so Social Security and retirement, the pension crisis, is a huge example of that, you know, because you're having smaller and smaller number of working people supporting a larger and larger number of retired people. And so when you have that burden on you, then the idea that you can then afford to have more children because they're dependent also, that's really quite a squeeze on that generation. On the working age generation there, and that's kind of the origins of the so-called sandwich generation. That's what's generating that. So this priest, having to close down his school, not only close down the school, but he had to bulldoze it, Todd, because it just got too expensive to heat it and insure it, you know, and keep it safe and so on. So he actually ended up having to bulldoze the school, and it's really a heartbreaking thing. What he did is he tells in this article about looking at the baptisms and funerals in his parish and looking at the last 10 funerals that he celebrated and looked at the siblings that were listed that each of the deceased people had. And so these people over 80, they all had 4.5 or 5 siblings, right? And then you look at how many children they had, and they all had 2.5 children. And then you look at how many grandchildren they had, you know, and there's a 1.5 or something, you know, grandchildren per person coming up. And so just looking at the life cycle of that one parish, you can see there's not enough demand for or support for the school. And so therefore, the school's got to be closed, you know. So it was, I think, a particularly dramatic and really heartbreaking illustration of this problem of fertility decline.
And right at this time, I don't know if you can explain it to me, but I know that you were equally frustrated by it. Right at this time, the lifestyle left are doubling down on abortion, on marriage that cannot beget children. They're doubling down on kind of an agenda for euthanasia, although they won't call that anything now. Their solution to all of this is more of the same. How do you explain?
I know. Yeah, it's really something that so many people refuse to see the long term trajectory of this whole thing. I think the explanation for that, Todd, is that there is a subset of that group of people who believes that we have too many people and it's all just fine, you know, that the human race is a cancer and the fewer of us, the better, you know. So that would be a certain kind of radical environmentalist. And, you know, they're quite unapologetic about talking like that. And so if people are uncomfortable in the meantime while we're shrinking the world's population from 7 billion to 1 billion, well, you know, that's too bad that we're uncomfortable, kind of a thing. So there are people like that, but I shouldn't think that that's the majority of people. I think the vast majority of people are people who have kind of imbibed with their mother's milk, so to speak, the idea that utilitarian calculation is an okay way to make moral decisions. You know, if I want it a whole lot, that's morally, you know, morally sufficient reason to do it, the fact that I really want it a lot. And I think people are committed to the idea that sex is a recreational activity and not something that has social or moral significance. Because as soon as a baby appears, you can no longer deny that sex had some social significance, because there's your little society that you just made, and there's your innocent bystander, you know, your innocent third party appears when the baby appears. So for that whole sexual revolutionary ideology, Todd, that to make any sense at all, you have got to mentally sterilize the sexual act. Otherwise, the whole ideology of the sexual revolution makes no sense, you know. And so that's the explanation, I think, Todd, as to why they're doubling down, as you put it, because they're committed to that ideology. New information coming in is profoundly disturbing to, you know, kind of the whole series of commitments they may have already made. And so, you know, they're just kind of turning a blind eye to the kind of thing that this priest in Peoria is talking about. And that's why we felt at the Ruth Institute that it was really important to encourage people to say something and to support this priest. So we created a little kind of thank you petition for him over at actright.com. So if people go to actright.com and type in the Ruth Institute, this petition will pop up, and you know, your little signature on the petition, it's not published or anything, but it's a way of saying to him that we appreciate what you're going through, we appreciate you being candid about it, and we're sorry for our participation, you know, because I have to say, Todd, I'm in my late 50s, you know, I was part of the baby boom generation, and I participated in the whole contraceptive culture, and I, like many of my women in my age group, have profound and deep regrets about that participation. You know, that we don't have as many children as we wish we had, and it's too late to do anything about it. You know, by the time you figure it out from experience that there's something wrong with this whole thing, it's too late to take corrective action. So that's why we think this is really good and why we put it up on actright.com.
Folks, you will find a link to this online petition supporting Father Timothy Salpe and his efforts there, right at the Ruth Institute, and you'll find that link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Oback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thanks.
You're welcome.
When we come back, it's going to be Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Audio Open Lines. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America held its churchwide assembly last week. They elected a new presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton. That made the headlines, of course. But before that historic election, there were a lot of things said by the candidates, both the current presiding bishop, Mark Hansen, and Elizabeth Eaton, about their thoughts on the recent past and future of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We'll respond to some of that in Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.